The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
It is the Mike Gallagher theme.
All over the world.
Or all over New England, anyway.
And what a stop I made. Oh, boy.
What do you want to do? What do you want to do first? What do you want to do first?
Well, first of all, I want to take from the you weekend. To
task. What did I do? Jiminy Christmas, I start
you know,
the show.
I'm listening to you talk about your text line, your Patriot Mobile text line.
Yes, here it is. It's in full career already. It's wonderful.
Do you realize what a deficiency it is in one's character to fail to give credit where credit is due? I'm the reason you have this text line, and you don't ever give me any credit for it. Patriot Mobile needs to thank me. You need to thank me. Case Guy, I have had to drag you kicking and screaming into the world of text messaging for your listeners and your fans, and you love it, don't you? Admit it.
I do.
See?
I do.
I told you, and you're never giving me, and you don't give me
any
credit.
Here's the thing. Haven't we chronicled this for weeks? Your affectionate taunting of me, sometimes not so affectionate taunting of me toward
it's
this.
Not affectionate.
And my slow journey toward acceptance of this thing. The segment has dripped with my epiphany of the wisdom of this. And of course that accrues to your wisdom. So do I need to throw that in about as often as I do the Patriot Mobile plug?
So I'm across the street at 705 at the Duane Reade here on Broadway in Lower Manhattan, trying to avoid being shot, stabbed, or abducted. I mean, it's like the zombies, the Night of the Living Dead here in New York City.
Still,
I mean, it's bad. It's rough. And so I'm going over to get some Diet Cokes because Eric dropped the ball and didn't get me any in the refrigerator. And then when he does, he gets me the cans, and I need the bottles. He knows I need the bottles, the plastic bottles, not the cans.
Right.
So it's a real crisis here. I mean, I got big.
Eric Adams thinks it's a crisis. You got a crisis.
First world problem. So I'm listening to you. Oh, I'm finally. Call me now. 800-660-5759.
Right.
And now you can text me. I'm thinking, oh, this is where he thanks me.
Like
this
it was my idea. Okay. It seems to you like this is something.
Like it's your
something.
Idea.
Gotcha.
Like you
okay.
It's fine. All
that's
me.
True.
It's all
that's
me.
That's right.
It's all
that is
me.
Right.
All right.
Just like the
now,
rest of life.
Enough about me. Let's talk about me.
Yes.
So I go to Hartford, Connecticut Saturday. Now I've got a station event there. And, you know, we got this big battleground tour coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to go all over the country. We're all getting on a plane where it's going to be a great trip. Hewitt and Prager and Kirk and Gorka and Gallagher and, Brandon Tatum. And we do these battleground tours. Well, they had a station event that really wasn't a part of the tour, but it was a celebration of the 100th anniversary of the station we're on in Hartford, WDRC. Great radio station. Great guy there that owns it, John Fuller. They've got a terrific team. They sent me the rundown the night before of what I'm supposed to do. And I'm supposed to go out, can you do 25, 30 minutes? I'm like, I can do 30 minutes.
In my sleep.
Yes, I can give you my name. I was born in a log cabin. Anyway, they say, and at 8:55, the senator will be brought up on stage. And that's the rundown. I'm thinking, oh, the senator, it's a state senator, Fabizi.
Sure, as being a Salem station and you're the keynote, obviously some good, and in Connecticut, a big blue state, a good, good solid Republican senator from Hartford or New Haven or something like that.
Right, because there are conservatives in Hartford.
Of course.
I couldn't believe it. I went to the Barnes & Noble, and there were a bunch of conservative books there in East. I noticed, too, there was a difference between East Hartford and West Hartford. West Hartford, decidedly nicer. Anyway,
yes.
I get another rundown. They tweak it a little bit, and then they say Senator Blumenthal will be up on the stage at 8:55. Oh, yeah. My eyes bugged out. I get on the phone. I said, Blumenthal? You've got Senator Richard Stolen Valor Blumenthal coming to your event? And the owner of the station, he's the owner of the station.
Right,
and I get it. I mean, he said, yeah, isn't that great? The U.S. Senator? I'm thinking, well, first of all, how do I get out of this building before Blumenthal shows up? There's a morning guy, and by the way, can I take a moment to give you some kudos? Because it dawned on me. There's a guy that they were honoring. It was the 100th birthday of the radio station. Mm-hmm. And 50 of the years that they've been on the air, the morning guy has been a guy named Brad Davis. Mm-hmm. And he has been beloved. He died last year. I got to meet him a couple of years ago. Great guy. Every market has a Brad Davis. I go all over the country. I started out local radio in Ohio, then South Carolina, Dallas. I mean, everybody's got a Brad Davis, a guy who's been there, who everybody knows, who's the go-to radio voice in the market. You grew up with him. You've spent years with him. And it hit me. Mark Davis is Dallas's Brad Davis.
Well,
it's true. It's absolutely true. I mean, 50 years from now, grandkids are going to remember their parents or their grandparents saying, I spent years listening to Mark Davis. And I just wanted to say that to you and get that off my chest because I've been wanting to say that. Because it was really cool, the genuine love that this audience had for Brad and, you know, all of his story. By the way, his trademark was, good morning, good morning, good morning. He said that three times every day. And everybody knew that. Even Blumenthal got up there and said, and when he got up, I got to tell you the story. When he got up on stage, though, he said, oh, yeah, I'll always miss good morning, good morning, good morning. Anyway, I just wanted to salute you knowing that you've got the kind of equity in that market that most of us just would dream of having. And people love you, Mark, and admire you. Your prayer to start the day has become now part and parcel of the Mark Davis Morning Show on 660 AM, The Answer. And I just wanted to give you a quick tip of the hat, even if you refuse to give me credit for your text line.
Even the ungrateful lout, though, I can sometimes be.
Yes. So Blumenthal comes out, and I'm up there talking, and they're like, and I'm telling them, and I will pull the curtain back and said, and I will share with you what I said. I ain't going to be on a stage with Richard Blumenthal. Sorry. I've spent many years taking him to task. I see no merit. I don't want a picture of Mike Gallagher shaking Richard Blumenthal's hand.
So where were you? Because Mike sent me video of this entire torturously awkward moment. Were you shooting the video? And so that's what
I was not.
Where were you? Because I see Blumenthal take the stage and the crowd, there's a smattering of polite applause. But then about seven or eight people in the crowd stand and turn their back on him.
More than seven or eight. The estimate was 30 people there were veterans that had their World War One guy, a World War II veteran in a wheelchair, turning their backs on him. One guy started yelling at him. It was awkward. Oh, I was in the hotel room at that point.
So somebody shot the video and sent it to you.
I ran out of that like I was shot like out of a cannon.
The Heisman Trophy.
It was like a fire alarm went off. I thought, because I told him, I said, I ain't going to be. And I wasn't alone. The local guys, Lee Elsie and Gary, the two local hosts, they were the same way. They're like, no.
Yeah.
And frankly, between you and me, it was not a well-attended event. And I told the owner, well, perhaps you saying Senator Richard Blumenthal will be the featured speaker
impacted
the turnout. Of course. Would you go to an event to see Richard Blumenthal?
It's like, hey, everybody, you know, you got Mark Davis, you got Ted Cruz, so come on over to the Eisenman Center or something like that. And also special guest Beto O'Rourke.
AOC is going to sing the national anthem. So it was a weird event, but hey, God bless the station and God bless them for trying. And incident. The reason I brought up the Brad Davis and the honorary, you know, the honoring of his legacy, mm-hmm. Blumenthal did like a weekly hit with him for many years,
which is nothing but smart. And it's funny because I thought about this because I know listeners are thinking, what in the world? Who in the world thought this was a good idea? But if you drill down deep, here's I think the logic of it. See if this makes sense. If you're Blumenthal, you show up in any room, anywhere. I mean, if you're a politician, you should show up.
And to his credit, he didn't have to go.
Now,
you know, he could have blown them off, and he didn't. So,
from the station's perspective, and we can sit there and ask, what in the world were they thinking, inviting him or welcoming him? Connecticut's a blue state, but no matter what your politics and who's in office, as a radio station, as radio station management, you'd better curry favor with those in power for regulatory issues, FCC issues, legislative issues. I mean, it's nothing but pure harmony here in Texas. Our management here at 660 AM The Answer is thrilled at the great relationships we have with our senators and our North Texas delegation, obviously, which is vastly Republican, and that's all great. But if, let's say, we were in a blue state and I'm on a conservative station, we still better have some tangential relationship with those in power, because at some point they will lord over us with some regulation of some sort.
This came up a couple years ago here in New York City. Mm-hmm. The general manager of the radio station here, Jerry Crowley, had some meeting with Chuck Schumer about radio and the relationship in the market, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And Jerry seemed oblivious to who Chuck Schumer is to our audience because he has to run a radio station, and you, sometimes you got to count on a senator to come through. This is the problem when you got when you got Democrats in control, and we might just fix that. We're 50 days away.
I like our chances.
You know, well, you know, everybody talks about an October surprise. Let's face it, the September surprise was the exposition of the height of hypocrisy over Democrats and illegals. Muriel Bowser, we're not Texas.
Nope, exactly
right. Yeah, keep
them
in Texas.
Yep.
Yeah, keep them in Texas? Are you kidding? How long did they last in Martha's Vineyard before they kicked them out?
44 hours.
44 hours?
They were deported to a military base.
And you're out. You're out. We can't handle. They mobilized the National Guard and FEMA over 50 illegals in Lily White Martha's Vineyard. And we're the ones who don't like brown people?
That's right.
Have
you seen the meme of some Tony Thurston Howell type on the phone to 911 saying, "Excuse me, I see several people who are Hispanic in the neighborhood and not one of them is carrying a leaf blower." It was hilarious.
The 44 hours is the best part of the whole story. Yep. In fact, over at CNN over the weekend, speaking of tone deaf, their headline, they quoted a Martha's Vineyard resident. And this is the actual headline, Mark. Yep. I kid you not. It's CNN.com. Quote, "They enriched us," unquote. "Migrants' 44-hour visit leaves indelible mark on Martha's Vineyard. The moral victory lap that progressives take for being able to handle illegals for 44 hours before they kick their butts out."
So
it doesn't get any better than that. And
it's,
in many ways, Mark, it's the October surprise, even though we're not quite there. And I think Ron DeSantis just cemented his position as the front runner in 2024 if Trump doesn't want it.
If Trump doesn't want it, I think he's had that for a long time. That the big elephant, quite literally, in terms of mascot in the room, is Trump or DeSantis. The Mar-a-Lago raid had a lot of people who are thinking, leaning toward DeSantis, going, "Nope, Trump's got to have this, if only for sweet, sweet revenge." Now with Mar-a-Lago not dimming in the rearview mirror, although the special master won't do anything on that till after the election, this DeSantis moment joined with an Abbott moment. This DeSantis moment has a lot of people sort of leaning back toward him now. It's not a choice we got to worry about for a long time. May not have to worry about it at all, but it's been fascinating to see everybody's fates rise and fall. Mostly rise. This is nothing but a win-win-win-win in terms of messaging. This migrant relocation is genius.
And the pathetic desperation of Democrats 50 days before the midterms is on full display. There was Grandpa Joe on 60 Minutes last night. Declaring the pandemic is over.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, great. Good to know. Does that mean everybody gets their jobs back who got fired because they didn't get a vaccine? Is everybody going to get their benefit? I mean, and it's only what changed? Nothing changed. Hey, newsflash, same amount of people are dying every day, supposedly, from COVID, 400 or 500 people a day. That hasn't gone down. It is done. It's been done for many, many, many weeks, if not months. The only reason Biden is saying it now, and I guarantee you, the whole plan to do 60 Minutes was, let's please try to convince people that we cured the pandemic, that we Democrats fixed it. That's the whole, it was the whole objective. Meanwhile, he also confirmed he ain't running in 2024 when he said in the interview, well, we shall have to see, time will tell.
No,
he's not going to run.
I mean, listen, I'd know,
he
too.
Ain't running.
But that's what he would say anyway. But
he's not running. No. And what do you mean that's what he would say? Normally a Democrat, they would say, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, good point.
You know, no. He's not running. And can I finally, one more tip of the hat. Boy, this is my day to be, I'm J.D. Vance to your Donald Trump. but let me again say how smart you are. I got up early this morning, real early, for you, to be in honor of you, because you're right. I watched a lot of the Queen's funeral, and you know what? It was beautiful. A magnificent funeral, an amazing send off to the monarch. And I watched for about an hour and a half, 2 hours this morning, because it started out, like 4 a.m. East time, East Coast time, 5 a.m. And I watched a lot of it this morning, and it was a beautiful ceremony, and it was pretty profound and moving to see the British people bid farewell to Queen Elizabeth.
There was an 11-year-old girl. Her name was Esme, standing there with her mom. They had endured temperatures in the 40s overnight and stayed there for 12 hours. And somebody asked, why in the world, why would you do that? And this little 11-year-old girl said, this is what the Queen would have wanted from us. She would have wanted us to be resilient. She would have wanted us to show our best selves.
Stiff upper lip. The favorite trip, the single best journey I ever took with my Denise was a trip to London.
I knew you were a fan of the place and of the country.
Loved it. And here's I want to go back.
And here's some people who are a fan of yours on the Mike Gallagher-inspired Patriot mobile text line.
Thank you. Hang on a second.
Here's somebody. Mark, don't bring up the Queen to Mike. It will trigger him. Mike, calm down. It's Monday already. Don't make it worse. Mike could really hold a grudge. Oh, but here's one. I remember when you guys say, I like our chances, and it inspires me.
So, nice. There you go. Our work here is done. Happy Monday, my friend.
Happy Monday.
And we'll check again tomorrow.
Yes, we will. It's Mike Gallagher. It's up to you. He's in New York dodging bullets and all kinds of other hazards. He does it for you, and he'll be with us when we're done at 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.